So, now you've narrowed it to, what, 5 planets? 6? But she could be anywhere.
In theory, yes. But here's what else we have.
A still shot of enhanced vid went up.
Thanks to Shrike's extensive scavenging of the hijacking site and the quick thinking of someone in the Elias Madero crew, we have video data of the hijackers themselves. You can see that enhancement gives us the engraving on the leader's insignia. Here, you can just make out Bui. So we know that this raid was led by a Ranger Bui, and we know from other sources that only 2 of the settlements, Our Texas and Texas True, now title one of their Rangers Bui. Knowing that, we'll need to get visual confirmation of which Bui we're dealing with, and that may take some time.
She doesn't have time. We have to find her.
Baron saw the sidelong glances. He had heard the rumors, too. They had worse problems than a missing woman and threats against the government. Something would have to be done.
We have field agents working on it. Since the Guarnesi told us to expect terrorist attacks from these people, we've put out specific warnings to law enforcement on all orbital stations, shipyards, and in the larger cities.
Gunnar Tarakian had come into the rusty rocket on Zenebra Station for a quiet conversation with his cousin, Basil Tarakian Junos, out of the hearing of their other relatives and shipmates. They had business no one else needed to hear. Midweek, mid-second shift, they might have been lucky enough to find the bar empty except for Sandor the bartender and possibly Genevieve. According to Sandor, Genevieve was off somewhere shopping. But the bar wasn't empty. Propped against the bar was a young man whose ship suit bore an unfamiliar patch, but his condition was all too familiar.
You don't have a clue what's coming to you.
Tarakian ignored him and ordered for himself and Basil. Perhaps the young fool would go back to talking to himself. But he didn't. When Tarakian moved to the far end of the bar with Basil, the young man followed.
The blow is about to fall, and yet you walk in darkness. Unaware.
Go away.
You will not give the orders then. It'll be too late for you then.
Tarakian looked past him at Sandor, who rolled his eyes but said nothing. Drunks are drunks, an occupational hazard. But the Tarakians were old customers, so he approached the young man.
Are you drinking or talking?
Give me another.
The young man swayed slightly, but he wasn't out yet, and Tarakian figured he wouldn't remember anything anyway. He turned to Basil, ignoring the drunk.
About the Vortenier contract, what I heard from Gabe on the Serenity Gradient is that they're planning...
The drunk tapped his shoulder, and Tarakian turned angrily. The drunk shook a finger in his face.
You don't know what's coming, do you?
Oh, what are you talking about? All I know that's coming to me is a half share in the ship when my uncle dies.
Tarakian grinned at his cousin, who grinned back.
It's a secret, but you know... You'll all know.
Sounds like a threat. Oh, I'm so scared.
The young man's bleary face focused.
You better be. All you abominations.
Tarakian's cousin had a temper and the scars to prove it.
Egg layer.
You'll be sorry. When the stations blow and the wrath of God smacks.
Here now, no God talk in this bar. If you want to fight over religion, do it somewhere else.
The young man pushed himself back from the bar, took a few unlevel steps, then folded over. Sandor reached for the vacuum nozzle racked behind the bar.
I hate righteous drinkers. They can't hold their liquor.
He looked at Tarakian and his cousin.
You ever seen him before?
No, but there's been a few of those patches around the last day or so over in D-Dock.
Well, stick your head out and see if you spot any station security while I clean up. Don't want any trouble with the law for having served to a minor or something.
Sandor yanked on the vacuum hose and hauled it around the end of the bar toward the mess. Tarakian, who came through this station every 2 months, regular as clockwork, knew most of the station employees. He glanced down toward Friendly Max Exchange and Financing and saw Jilly Merovic on her beat. He waved. Jilly waved back and crossed the corridor, moving at her usual quick walk.
Jilly's coming.
Sandor had already sucked up most of the vomit, but the young man was sprawled unconscious.
Good. Help me turn him over, will you?
Leave him face down, our ship medic says.
Well, then pick up his head so I can suck up the rest of the puddle.
Basil grimaced, but pulled the young man's head up by the hair as Sandor passed the vacuum intake under his face.
What's going on?
New customer. He drank too much, threw up, passed out on me.
You get his ID?
It said he was 27.
All right, Sandor. I'm not accusing you of selling to minors. I just wanted to know if he had any medicals.
Nothing stamped.
Jilly squatted beside the sprawled figure, then glanced up at Tarakian and his cousin.
Either of you know him? Did he seem distressed?
No, we didn't know him, and he seemed drunk.
Tarakian gave his cousin a warning look. Basil was the kind to resent the interference of fate. They could always do their business later if he didn't cause enough trouble to get them noticed.
He was making threats, called us abominations, and said we'd get what was coming to us.
Jilly had opened the man's ID packet, but she looked up at that.
Abominations? Are you sure that's what he said?
Yeah, and something about stations blowing up. Typical mean drunk is what I thought. Probably his captain told him off, or his station Molly took up with someone else.
Ever hear of a ship called the Mockingbird Hill?
No. What is it?
An unaffiliated trader. This is Spacer First Class Todd Grew.
Jilly scanned the ship patch on the man's arm, then looked at the readout on her hand comp.
Mockingbird Hill, all right. And she's berthed in D dock. Paid up a 30-day docking fee, and her cargo was listed as light manufactory.
Are you going to call a ship for transport back?
Jilly gave Basil a look that chilled Tarakian to the bone, though he got only the edge of it.
No, Sir Grew deserves only the best medical treatment. You two keep watch on the door. If you see anyone looking for Mr. Grew, go cause trouble. Whatever you do, don't let them in here. I'll need your cumjack, Sandor.
But you have your—
Now!
The bartender stepped back. Tarakian was glad to see another man react the way he felt. He nodded at Basil, and they went to the door, as Jilly had ordered. He couldn't hear what she said, but a long life in Familius spaceways left him no doubt as to the identity of the men in unremarkable clothes who came through the bar's back door and bundled Todd Grew into a gurney before he woke up. Even as they were taking him out the back, one of them approached Tarakian.
May I see your ID, please?
Tarakian pulled out his folder. The man glanced at it.
Officer Merovic says she knows you, has for years.
Cold sweat trickled down Tarakian's back, and he hadn't even done anything wrong that he knew of.
That's right. Off the Tarakian blessing. Tarakian and Sons Limited.
The man looked at Basil.
And you?
Basil Tarakian Junos, off the Tarakian bounty.
Cousins. You're the brawler, aren't you?
I can fight.
Basil.
It doesn't bother me. Just wanted to be sure I had the right Tarakian cousins. Now let me give you some advice. This never happened, right?
Huh?
Ow!
Tarakian elbowed Basil.
We just came in here for a little family chat.
Right. And you saw Officer Merovic and bought her a drink.
Yes, sir. And nobody saw anything.
That's it. I know how you people are with your families, but I'm telling you, this is not a story to tell. And there's no profit to be made off it.
Tarakian doubted that. Anything Fleet Security cared about this much usually involved plenty of profit. But he was willing to concede that he couldn't make anything off it.
And how long should our family conference continue?
Another 15 minutes should about do it.
15 minutes. They still had time to deal with the Vortenia contract negotiations if Jilly didn't insist on sitting with them for her drink.